My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It was some years ago, many years ago now actually, alhamdulillah. It was a young man, just 19 years old, one of the brightest young men that I've ever met. A true shining star. Brilliant, well put together, handsome, clean, well mannered, good character. The only thing missing was Islam. But the way that I met him, alhamdulillah, was well into his journey of learning about the deen. And he came to me via friends. Basically, he wanted to take his shahada. It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful ceremony. So many of his friends around him, celebrating with him. He pronounced those words that are written upon the heart of every believer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He was Muslim. He's our brother. And I remember in those days that I met him, I remember thinking to myself, MashaAllah, his faith is so stable. His reasoning and his research and the process by which he came to this conclusion was a beautiful one that made me feel confident in him. Made me feel that not only is this a brother, but a potential future scholar. A potential future teacher of the deen, a da'i, a symbol for others, not just his family, but others around him. I remember thinking to myself, MashaAllah, this young man, at the age of 19, his faith is stronger than most of the adults, the old men that I know. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our faith in our hearts. Ameen, Ya Rab. It was about a year later, I hadn't seen him in some time. I had confidence, I didn't check in too much. It was about a year later, actually, that he came back to me. He wanted to have a meeting. He came back to me, and I was just excited, thinking to myself, I need to ask him to, you know, help lead some of the programs, or maybe, you know, prepare to become a teacher in one of the Sunday school classrooms or something. And so I met with him, and my meeting really disturbed me. Alhamdulillah, he had not left his faith, but he had questions that were strange to me for someone who I thought had such solid foundations of faith. He asked me questions, for example, he asked, why do we pray 5 times a day? What is the evidence that we're supposed to do it 5 times and not 3 times or 1 time or more than 5 times? Why do we pray 5 times a day? And then he asked me in the same session, why is it that according to Islam, according to Rasulullah, a man is allowed to marry up to 4 wives? Why, how does that make sense, he asked. Especially when we look around today. So he's asking this question as well. He's also asking me, why are there modesty requirements in Islam? Especially the modesty requirements for women. What is the point? Why does God need these things? Why doesn't it just change with the times? And then he asks me, why are drugs haram in Islam? We know alcohol, it's mentioned in the Quran. But what about other drugs? What about marijuana and other forms of drugs and psychedelics? What? There's nothing in the Quran that says that. He's asking me these types of questions. I spent a lengthy amount of time with him. Alhamdulillah, the questions were not the problem. Wallahi, they're very, very straightforward, easy to answer. Questions that, if anybody has these questions, please, just come and ask. It's actually quite beautiful when you study the answer to these questions. You will be convinced of the answer more than anything else that you will see. Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly designed this deen perfectly for humanity. That wasn't my issue though. My issue was not why is he asking the questions. My issue was, where are these questions coming from? This is not the trajectory that I believed that this young man would take. So I started to inquire with my own questions. And little by little, I started to hear a particular other brother mentioned multiple times. A friend of his, a Muslim friend of his, who he's also asking these same questions. So as I dug deeper, I realized something. He revealed to me that this other brother that, you know, he's been, you know, also having these similar thoughts. This other brother believes, listen carefully here, this other brother believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the Qur'an. And while he sent the Qur'an through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no need for us to follow the example of the Prophet anymore. The Qur'an is supposed to be enough. Of course, we agree the Qur'an is enough. But who's going to teach you how to live by the Qur'an? Who's going to show you how to implement this verse and how to implement this command? And what's the best way to live according to the Qur'an? Who's going to do that? You? Your friend? Some random person on YouTube? See, this is the problem. A Muslim telling another Muslim essentially that we don't need Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What an absolute atrocity. And I thought to myself, and I still think back to myself, by the way, alhamdulillah, the brother's trajectory went in the right direction after that conversation. He's a good young man, mashallah, he's married now. Follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I just remember thinking at the time, and to this day I wonder, how could it be that in a world that is so desperate to find an example, to find a leader like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there would be Muslims who are so ready to dismiss him? In a world that is falling apart and needs a heroic figure and a heroic character like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there would be Muslims who are willing to silence him? That is an absolute tragedy, brothers and sisters, and one that we can never allow, one that we can never participate in, and if you see it, you cannot be silent about it. That is part of what is mandatory for us in loving Rasulullah alayhi as-salatu wassalam. Of course, we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the month in which khayru khalqillah, this best of creation, rahmatan lil alameen, the mercy to mankind, to the worlds, was born in this month. And so it becomes an excellent opportunity for us to reflect and reconnect with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ is many things for us, but I want you to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Prophet ﷺ is a gift to us. How do you treat a gift when you receive it? Especially if it comes from someone who is so important to you. How do you treat that gift? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayat of Surah Al Imran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly God has been so gracious with the believers by raising a messenger from among them, reciting to them God's revelations, purifying them, and teaching them the scripture, and teaching them wisdom. And before that, they were so clearly astray. This ayah has so much to be said, but just the first point, brothers and sisters, there are many words in the Arabic language for gift. For example, there's the word hadiyah. A hadiyah is a gift. It's a present, a functional gift. There's also the word atiyah. And that is a gift. It's like a grant. It's like something that is given from peer to peer. There is the word qurban. That is a gift. Qurban is a gift offered from one who is in a lower position to one who is in a higher position. And then the word that Allah used here is what? He says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The word is minnah. And the word minna is a kind of gift that is given to one who does not deserve that gift. You understand? The Prophet ﷺ is a gift to the believers, to us human beings. Though we did not deserve the gift, we did not earn the gift, there's nothing that we could have done that would make us the ones who would be recipients of this gift that is Rasulullah ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to give that gift anyways. That's the kind of gift that breaks the ice. That's the kind of gift that deepens the relationship. That's the kind of gift that you receive and you say, Ya Allah, I don't know if I deserve this, but now that I have it, I need to care for it in the best possible way. I need to make the most use of this gift. I need to honor this gift and the giver of this gift. My brothers and sisters, the month of Rabiul Awwal is not only the month in which we were given the gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also the month in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. When that gift was given to the town of Yathrib that transformed it into Madinatul Nabi, the city of the Messenger. And it is also the same month in which that gift was taken from this world. And the month of Rabiul Awwal is also the month in which the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam passed. But if you think that that was the end of the gift, you're wrong. Not only do we continue to benefit from his words, not only do we continue to feel inspired by his teachings, but even in the next life, brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a gift for you and I, a gift for the believers. As he tells us in the hadith, آتي باب الجنة يوم القيامة فأستفتح. He says, I will arrive at the gates of Jannah when so many other people are there crowded, waiting at the gates of Jannah for it to be opened. I will arrive at the gate as well, and I will ask for it to be opened. فَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ مَنْ أَنْتَ. So the guardian of the gate of Jannah will ask, and who are you? Because this gate is not to be opened for anybody. This gate is to remain shut until Allah wills. فَأَقُولُ مُحَمَّدْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I will say, I am Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. فَيَقُولُ بِكَ أُمِرْتْ بِكَ أُمِرْتْ لَا أَفْتَحُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ. So the guardian of the gate of Jannah will say, I have been commanded to wait for you. I have been commanded that none, I should open this gate for no one until first I open it to you. In fact, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ is such a gift that he is the keys for all of us to opening the gates of paradise, to opening the gates of eternity, to opening the gates of God's eternal bliss. That is the gift that is Muhammad ﷺ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will all walk through the gates of Jannah in his company. Ameen Ya Rab. My brothers and sisters, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we remember that the Messenger alayhi as-salatu was-salam is not only a gift to the believers, but he is a gift to the entire world. He is a gift to all that exists. He is a gift to everyone around us, even though they don't realize it. And today, I wanted to dedicate some minutes at least to showing you how the gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is benefiting people around us who may not even know his name or how to honor him. For example, the world across the globe, in every culture and in every civilization, the basic assumption has been and continues to be that racism is a legitimate idea. People have believed historically, and they continue to believe this today, that some races are more superior to others. And of course, which one is superior? Whichever one you come from, whichever culture you're talking about, they will say they are the superior race, and everyone else is in a hierarchy of lesser races. And they will find all kinds of ways to justify it. They will use economics. They will use all kinds of biased education systems. They will try to prove it to you. They will justify themselves, and then they have built institutions. They have built economic systems based upon that racism. I wish we could say this was a thing of the past. But if you look today around you, you will see that this same kind of racism and this same kind of supremacy, ethnic supremacy of one group or another, is rearing its ugly head again. People are quickly running to their tribes left and right. And the Prophet ﷺ stood as a beacon of light against this kind of darkness. The most widely reported thing that he ever said, ﷺ, after the Qur'an, is the following statement. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, he calls to mankind. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَلَا إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. Mankind, know that your Lord is single, is only one. And know that even your father, you share one father. أَلَا لَا فَضَّ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَجَمِيٍ وَلَا لِعَجَمِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَرَبِيٍ. Know that there is absolutely no virtue in an Arab over a non-Arab. And there is no virtue in a non-Arab over an Arab. And then as if he's a prophet, right? As if he's a prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course he is. He continues. He says, وَلَا لِأَحْمَرٍ عَلَىٰ أَسْوَدٍ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدٍ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدَ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَرَ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى. He says, and there is no supremacy of a white man over a black man, or a black man over a white man, except by the piety in your heart, except by the consciousness that somebody has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be great, you want to be virtuous, you want to be, you know, held in higher esteem, then hold Allah in higher esteem, brothers and sisters. This is the stance that he took 1,400 years ago. This is the stance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted empowered in the world. And great historians have acknowledged it. Great historians, the likes of, I'll name you one, Arnold Toynbee, a British non-Muslim historian, one of the most renowned historians in the world. He comments on this fact, and he says the extinction of race consciousness between Muslims is one of the most outstanding achievements of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, how the world is still benefiting from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has always been considered a given that in warfare there will be atrocities. In warfare, civilians will be harmed, towns will be destroyed, populations will be annihilated. This has been the assumption historically about warfare. In fact, it became a tool of war to use the civilian populations in order to coerce the leaders, the political leaders, the military leaders, etc. It became a normal practice in war. You lay siege to a place, destroy a place in order to pressure the people in charge. But what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Alayhi as-salatu wasalam, he prohibited the killing of children. He prohibited the killing of women. He prohibited the destruction of trees. He prohibited the destruction of buildings and structures. He prohibited attacking places of worship. He prohibited attacking agricultural lands and crops. He prohibited all of these things. You want to talk about the Geneva Conventions and the modern day rules of warfare? Wallahi, they still don't stand up to the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And still to this day, in the modern world, where people think they are so civilized and they care so much about human life, they continue to commit those same atrocities. Not the same. They continue to commit even worse atrocities than the people they look back at historically and they mock. And Rasulullah ﷺ stands out as an example against all of this. And Karen Armstrong, one of the non-Muslim historians that has studied the life of the Prophet ﷺ extensively for decades, she says Muhammad ﷺ was one of the first leaders in history who did not weaponize civilians during warfare. To the degree that if a combatant decides that he no longer wants to fight, it is from the rules of the Prophet ﷺ that you cannot harm that non-combatant anymore. That is the standard of Islam. That is the gift that is Muhammad ﷺ. Number three, religion and faith has always been the private domain of the clergy. It has always been the property of the church, the property of the priests and the pastors, the property of the religious leaders, and nobody else is given access, nobody else's opinions are taken seriously. That has been the case historically. Perhaps you would say, well, it's because, you know, people were mostly illiterate. You would say, well, it's because, you know, people will have difficulty understanding the religion. But in fact, Islam and the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are again a stark contrast to all of this. Remember what he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about those, you know, at a time when reading the Bible was considered illegal, was considered to be unacceptable, haram in their traditions. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about reading the Quran? He speaks extensively about its rewards. He speaks extensively about memorizing it. Do you see why we're the only nation who preserved our scripture so exactly? Because everyone participated. Everyone has a role to play. And he even says, you know, we talked about maybe people will be illiterate. What does the Prophet ﷺ say about the illiterate person who wants to read the Quran? His reward is double. His reward is double. Because he's struggling to read, he will be rewarded even more. One of the great philosophers of the modern world, Alphonse de Lamartine, he says, no man before Muhammad ﷺ achieved this most sublime goal. This goal that has eluded every religious leader before and after. No man has done this. What is that goal? To undermine superstition placed between creator and the created. He gave back God to man and man to God. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number four. And I'll do just four today. There's plenty more. Number four. In a world of superstitions, superstitions that prohibit and prevent people from exploring the truth, from understanding the realities of the world that we live in. In the past, when there would be an earthquake, when there would be a volcano, a tornado, any kind of natural disaster, or even some kind of personal tragedy, people would immediately blame some kind of superstitious force. They would immediately, either they put the blame directly on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they would put the blame on other superstitious forces. And then a time came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced his own personal tragedy. When his young son Ibrahim, who was only less than 2 years old at the time, when his young son passed away. And of course, the messenger was so hurt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of our children. And he was so hurt and in such pain, and the tears would come from his eyes. And on that same day, in the day, there was an eclipse that took place. And people were looking at the eclipse. It was at night. They were looking at the eclipse. They're looking at the moon being eclipsed. And people in Medina are spreading words. This is God showing his grief. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showing his grief. This is a sign. This is an honor for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there would be an eclipse on the same day that his son would pass away. That even the moon is grieving. They would say all these kinds of things. Do you see the superstitions starting to seep in? And it's so tempting. We do it in our own lives. Something happens to us, and then we see something else, and we say, Ya Allah, this is a sign for me. We say, Ya Allah, this is you know, made because I was experiencing this other thing. We do this ourselves. But how did the Prophet respond, alayhi salatu wasalam? When he heard of these rumors, that people thought that the eclipsing of the moon was because of the death of his son, he gathered people and publicly announced to them. He broke his moments of grieving in order to publicly announce to them. And he says, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَا يَخْصِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. The sun and the moon do not eclipse for the death of any individual, nor for their life. وَلَكِنَّهُمَا آيَتَانْ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. These are just signs from the signs of God. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهَا فَصَلُّوا. If you see an eclipse, what should you do? Go pray to Allah. Go pray. And this is where we get the prayer of the eclipse from as well. And James Mykiner, another one of the great philosophers of the Western world, he says, when Muhammad rejected superstition, he opened the door for the exploration of the natural world. There is a reason why the onset of science, the onset of discovery, the onset of all of these ideas that are so impactful in the modern world, there's a reason why it started in the Muslim world. Because the Prophet ﷺ shut the door on superstition and he opened the door for exploring the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, the world is in desperate need for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. The world is in desperate need for his example again. The question is, where will they find it? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will show the example of our beloved Nabi. Brothers and sisters, raise your hands. Speak to Allah from the heart. Udu Allaha wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana nabiyil kareem. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My dear brothers and sisters, today, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, we remember that the Prophet ﷺ was an incredible gift, is an incredible gift to us as believers and to the world at large. We see how his legacy continues to impact people who may not follow him, who may not believe in him, who may not even know of him. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, that they benefit from his teachings, and they will continue to benefit from his teachings. They crave his way. They crave his sunnah. Though they do not know what sunnah even means. They wish that the world was a place like the place that he envisioned. They so desperately need the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the question remains, where will they find him? How will they receive him? Who will be the messengers of the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As the Prophet ﷺ was preparing Mu'adh ibn Jabal to go and make da'wah, to go and bring another tribe of the Arabs to Islam. And he prepared him and he coached him. And at the end of his coaching, what did he say to him? He said, praise be to Allah, the one who has made the messenger of the messenger of Allah pleasing to him. We are also the messengers of the messenger of Allah. So brothers and sisters, are we pleasing to the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If he saw us and he said, you guys, you need to go and bring this message, bring this way to a world that is in such desperate need, would he smile and be satisfied with the way that we are bringing that message? Would he at least feel bad for us and say, well, they're trying? Or would he wonder, why are they hiding this message? Why are they keeping it a secret? Why are they not even being impacted by it themselves? And that is the question we need to ask ourselves in Rabiul Awwal before we celebrate anything. Before we engage in any kind of events, we need to ask ourselves, are we ourselves being affected? Are we ourselves being impacted by this gift that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let's go back to the very same ayah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has granted a huge favor, a massive gift to the believers. Well, how do we know that we are impacted by that gift? Number one, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recited and showed us the signs of God Almighty, His revelation. So are we being impacted by the gift of Rasulullah? By engaging in those verses that were revealed to him, by reflecting upon them, by reading them, yatlu alayhi ayat, are we reciting those verses on a regular basis? Number two, wa yuzakkihim. Is our association to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, purifying us? Do you ever say to yourself, you know what, I'm a Muslim. I'm a follower of Muhammad. I can't do that. I'm a follower of Muhammad. I can't speak like that. I'm a follower of Muhammad. I cannot dress like that. I'm a follower of Rasulullah. When people see me, they associate me to the messenger. I hold in my hands his reputation. I cannot behave like that in public. I cannot allow myself those sins. I cannot engage in that kind of behavior. I cannot speak that way or act that way. Are we being purified by our affiliation to this gift that is the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Are we learning the book? I hope we're reciting it. Are we learning it? Are we teaching it to others? Are we excited to find solutions to modern problems in the Qur'an? You have problems, right? Or is everyone just living fine? Are you looking to the Qur'an? If you can't find it, are you finding others and saying, hey, I want to find solutions in the Qur'an. Can you help me? I'm struggling. I don't understand. Are you excited to find solutions and learn from the Qur'an? Wal hikmah. The scholars say hikmah is a reference to the sunnah of the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when is the last time you asked yourself, how would the Prophet do this? How would the Prophet say this? How would he type this email? How would he send this message? How would he speak to these children? How would he engage with these elders? How would he deliver this message? How would he present himself in the world? When's the last time we asked ourselves that? Because brothers and sisters, away from that, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. If we are not interested in affiliating with the gift that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this month of Rabiul Awwal, when he was born, does not remind us to go back to the gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I have bad news. We're in this absolutely clear misguidance, ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. Ya Allah, protect us from misguidance. Protect us from the lies and the deceit that is around us. Protect us from the temptation that takes us away from your messenger. Protect us from the cowardice in our hearts that discourages us from teaching his way. Protect us, Ya Allah, from being distant from your messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make us among those who are beacons of light. Make us among those who are teachers of his way. Make us among those who recite the verses that he brought to us. Make us among those who are purified by our affiliation with him. Make us among those who learn and teach the scripture and who live the way of your beloved Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.